Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. In this programme we have 30 minutes of music and chat, all dedicated to Martin Luther King. Why Martin Luther King? Well, keep listening and all will be revealed. Consider this. On Monday the 21st of January 2013, President Barack Obama was inaugurated for the second time as the 44th President of the United States of America. As he took the oath of office on the balcony of the Capitol building, America's Parliament, in front of a million people standing between him and the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., and with thousands of millions of people watching on television all around the world, he raised his right hand and he placed his left hand on two priceless Bibles. One belonging to Abraham Lincoln, the famous former president who presided over the Civil War and the emancipation or the freeing of American slaves. The other Bible had belonged to the Reverend Martin Luther King, leader of the Black Civil Rights Movement in the 1960s, and who got assassinated, as did Abraham Lincoln, in fact. Here's a moving song by Kenny Rogers celebrating the lives of several American heroes who each fought for freedom, and each got assassinated for it. Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, and Robert Kennedy.
Has anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but the good they say die young. And I just looked around and he was gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but the good they say die young. And I just looked around and he was gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but the good they say died. And I just looked around and he was gone. Didn't you love the things they stood for? Didn't they try to find some good for you and me? So we'd be free. Someday soon, there's gonna be a new day. Has anybody here seen my old friend Bobby. Can you tell me when he's gone? I thought I saw him walking up over the hill with Abraham Martin and John. Precious memories, how they linger, flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scene
President Barack Obama will go down in history as the first ever black president of the United States. Now he's the first ever two-term black American president. The day of his inauguration, January the 21st, just happened to be Martin Luther King Day, which is an annual national holiday in the United States. It also just happened to be 50 years since his most famous I Have a Dream speech. By tradition, presidential inaugurations are always held on January the 20th, unless it happens to be a Sunday, which it happened to be this time. So to keep the custom, he took the oath of office in a small private ceremony on Sunday the 20th, but the really big public inauguration was held on Monday the 21st, which is Martin Luther King Day. It means a lot because Obama becoming president, an ordinary black boy rising to the highest office, is the American dream, the whole human race dream of how society should be, and what Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement were striving for. 150 years earlier, also on January the 21st, Abraham Lincoln secured the freedom of every black slave. The previous night, slaves all over America couldn't sleep for excitement. So before the dawn, they went up the hills and any high spots so that they could catch the very first rays of sunlight as dawn broke, their day of freedom. It was also on January the 21st that America unveiled a statue called Freedom to mark the emancipation of the slaves. They gave it preeminence on the Capitol building, because America prides itself on being the land of the free, as their national anthem says. Remember also that America was founded by refugees from all over the world, such as the Pilgrim Fathers, coming to the New World to start a new life in freedom. So there are layers of meaning associated with the moment of Obama's swearing-in ceremony. Here's James Taylor.
Oh, let us turn our thoughts today to Martin Luther King, and recognize that there are ties between us, all men and women living on the earth, ties of hope and love, of sister and brotherhood. That we are bound together in our desire to see the world become a place in which our children can grow free and strong. We are bound together by the task that stands before us and the road that lies ahead. We are bound and we are bound. There is a feeling like the clenching of a fist. There is a hunger in the center of the chest. There is a passage through the darkness and the mist. And though the body sleeps, the heart will never rest.
Shed a little light, oh Lord.
Let that light, oh Lord,
so that we can see
again.
Just a little light, oh Lord.
Just a little light. There's a passage through the darkness and the mist. Oh, and though the body sleeps, the heart will never rest.
Oh, let us turn our thoughts today to Martin Luther King and recognize that there are ties between us, all men and women. Ties of hope and love, of sister and brotherhood.
Martin Luther King Jr. was born in Atlanta, Georgia. His dad was a minister, and Martin followed in his dad's footsteps into the ministry. He became the pastor at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, in Alabama. In 1955, there was a lot of racial tension in America. There was segregation of black and white people. There was even a law that if a bus was full, black people had to give up their seat to white folk. In 1955, a woman called Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat and was promptly arrested. She was normally a mild-mannered lady, but she was fed up of the discrimination and just stubbornly sat seated. Next thing, she found herself in jail, and things escalated from there. The Reverend Martin Luther King was young, competent, eloquent, and charismatic, and he organized a black boycott of the bus system. It was a bitter dispute which lasted for over a year, but it ended with the American Supreme Court declaring that the segregation on the public transport system should stop right away because it was deemed to be unconstitutional. Here's Martin Luther King speaking, followed by Joan Baez singing.
We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But difficulty. Physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death. Then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the corner.
We shall
spurred on by this success, Martin Luther King pushed for wider civil rights. He founded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in 1957 and galvanized the civil rights movement. He preached non-violence in the manner of Mahatma Gandhi in India. Between 1960 and 1965, King's leadership and influence were at their most powerful. He organized protest marches and direct action. He was arrested many times, and he personally was the target of violent attacks and became a hate figure. In 1963, boycotts and sit-ins led to a loosening of the segregation laws in Birmingham, Alabama. Also in 1963, the March on Washington, D.C., America's capital, united the various civil rights organizations in America. More than 250,000 people packed the area between the Capitol building and the Lincoln Memorial to hear Martin Luther King's finest speech. It's up there on a par with Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Let's go back in time right now and listen in to what he's saying. It is August the 28th, 1963.
I still have a dream.
Yes.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
Yes.
I have a dream that one day,
yes,
this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Yes.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted.
Yes.
And every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain.
Yes.
And the crooked places will be made straight.
Yes.
And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together.
Yes.
This is our hope.
Yes.
This is a faith that I go back to the South with.
Yes.
With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee."
Yes.
Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing.
Oh, yes.
Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride.
Yes.
From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring.
Yes.
From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty we are free at last.
These fine words struck a chord in America, and the result was the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which outlawed discrimination and authorized desegregation. No wonder then that in the same year, 1964, Martin Luther King was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. In 1965, the Selma to Montgomery marches provoked a violent reaction from the police, and Martin's policy of non-violent passive resistance lost him the support of more radical followers. Impatient himself with the slow pace of change, despite the Civil Rights Act, because it's easier to change laws than it is to change hearts and minds, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King organized the Poor People's Campaign in 1968, which highlighted the desperate economic state of many black families. In March 1968, King traveled to Memphis, Tennessee, to support striking black sanitation workers. He arrived safely in the city despite a bomb threat to his plane. However, on the evening of April 4, 1968, Martin Luther King was assassinated by James Earl Ray. King's voice was silenced, but his legacy still looms large in America. A charismatic man and an effective campaigner, his work in the cause of civil rights significantly changed America for the better. He achieved real and long-lasting gains for underprivileged Americans. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a kind of Moses figure, a prophetic voice, a leader of God's people who brought them out of slavery through the wilderness years and to the brink of the promised land. But just like Moses, Martin was not allowed to see the work completed. However, the pursuit of the dream of freedom continues in every generation with God's help. So I leave you dreaming and striving for freedom. Till the next time, here's Kate Campbell.
Moses stood on the mountain, looked over to the promised land, took his people through the valley, said, I hope you understand, I may not get there with you. Keep on marching just the same. There ain't no turning back. It's a one-way track when you jump that freedom train. They were running through the darkness. They were bleeding from the briar, drowning out those howling dogs. They heard Miss Tubman's cry. I may not get there with you. Keep on marching just the same. There ain't no turning back. It's a one-way track when you jump that freedom train. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. I have stood on the mountain. I've seen the promised land, but I may not get there with you. Keep on marching just the same. There ain't no turning back. It's a one-way track when you jump that freedom train. I have stood on the mountain. I've seen the promised land, but I may not get there with you. Keep on marching just the same. There ain't no turning back. It's a one-way track when you jump that freeway. when you jump that freedom train.